Chapter 3, why don't you open up there? We're going through the Bible chapter by chapter, book by book. High schoolers and middle schoolers, you can be dismissed. If you don't have a Bible, you can go back to the back and get a Bible so you can follow along with us. Luke chapter 3, last week we looked at the first 20 verses, and today we're going to come back and just look at Luke 3, 15 to 17. We want to take a deeper dive looking at these verses. And in Luke 3, we find, it's pretty interesting, you see things when you study the Bible you've never seen before. I've never seen this, that in this chapter, Luke 3, we find four baptisms. So that's kind of interesting. The first baptism is John the Baptist's baptism. That was a baptism of repentance, getting ready for Jesus' first coming. And then we see the baptism with the Holy Spirit. What is that? What's the baptism with the Holy Spirit? We're going to talk about that today. And then we see the baptism with fire. Baptism with fire? I don't think I've ever heard of that. Well, we're going to read about it today. John talks about this baptism with fire. And then last of all in this chapter, you find Jesus' water baptism. So next week, we'll look at the baptism with fire. Jesus said a lot about fire. And then finally, we'll look at Jesus' baptism in 2 weeks. So, okay, you might have questions about these things. Let's study them together. Luke chapter 3, verse 15, as the people were in expectation. We're reading all about this revival, and people are in expectation of the Messiah coming. Do you know there's 300 prophecies in the Old Testament of Jesus coming? And they were in expectation. The Messiah's coming. Our Savior's coming. There's over 500 prophecies of Jesus coming a second time. We're in expectation in the days that we're living in that the Lord is coming. You know, when the disciples asked Jesus the question, what are going to be the signs of your coming? And he told them all about what the signs will be. This is the first sign. Many people are going to be deceived. Man, the world is going to be a deceived place. And even churches are going to be deceived and follow false messiahs. There's all kinds of churches that believe in a Jesus. It's not even the Jesus of the Bible. And then Jesus went on to tell them that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Man, the world is going to be a place of warfare. There's going to be famines. There's going to be population explosion and not enough food to feed people. There's going to be pestilences. And we're seeing these things. Jesus described them as birth pains. He said the love of many going to grow cold. And the last day, the world is going to be a loveless place. There's going to be a loss of natural affection is one of the signs of the last days. People that the baby in the womb should be the most loved object on the planet. There's going to be a loss of love for children like this. Loss of natural affection, men for women and women for men. And these are all signs of the times. And Jesus said they're going to happen in greater frequency. You know, I think even the vaccine mandate is concerning to all of us. And it's not just something that we're watching in America. It's got our attention, doesn't it? The whole world, that something could be mandated that you must take it. And some people say, well, is that the mark of the beast? And some people even are thinking it is what Revelation warns about. But I don't believe the vaccine is the mark of the beast. When you read about the end times, you read about a mark that we're warned about that people will have to take on their right hand or forehead. And it's going to be in pledging your worship to the Antichrist. And if you don't take it, you're going to be put to death. And you're not going to be able at the initial stages to buy or sell, and eventually it's going to lead to martyrdom. That's not what we're seeing with this vaccine, but boy, does it have our attention. It's almost like maybe the devil is doing a test run to see, will people actually bow down to something like this? We are living in the signs of the times or the times of the signs. And Jesus told us we should be able to see the signs of the times. And he said, when you see these things happening, lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. The Lord is coming. And we're going to read about that even this morning. But they were in expectation of Jesus' first coming and all reasoned in their hearts about John the Baptist, whether he was the Christ. Thousands and thousands of people were going out to the Jordan River in the wilderness and confessing their sins, tax collectors confessing their sins, Roman soldiers, the Jewish people coming from all over the nation getting baptized and confessing their sins. And they thought, well, maybe John. He had this kind of miraculous birth in his old John's parents in their old age. Maybe John's the Messiah. And John sets the record straight, verse 16, and answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water. The word baptize means immerse. So if you're wondering what baptism means, it means to be dipped or immersed. I've been immersing you in water, but one mightier than I is coming. The one is the Messiah. The Messiah is coming. And John says, whose sandal strap I'm not even worthy to loose. He's in a whole different category than what you're seeing in me. So we don't understand this about the first century, but in the first century, if you were the lowliest servant, your job was to wash people's feet. Foot washing. We kind of think of foot washing as kind of romantic, like, oh, wow, you know, we're going to have a foot washing, or maybe not romantic, but it's, wow, it's sacred or it's special. I guess romantic was a little off. I was thinking of my daughter's wedding because they had a foot washing at their wedding. But, you know, we think of it as a treasured moment, but foot washing was not, there was nothing treasured about it. This was filthy, dirty, grimy feet, and they needed to be cleaned. You were sitting down on pillows and mats to eat, and the job of the lowliest servant, he would wash the feet. So that's really significant to us that Jesus, when he celebrated Passover, what did he do? He washed the disciples' feet. And then he said, I'm leaving you an example. I've served you, and you should serve each other. You should look for the lowliest jobs. However you can serve others. And Jesus said, if you know this, happy are you if you do it. We're not happy when we're served by others. If you just come to church and, you know, everyone's serving you, they serve my kids, they serve me coffee, they serve me bulletins, they serve me the Word of God, the more blessed place is when you start serving, when you start opening up your home, when you start leading a house church, when you get involved in the Holy Spirit, not just in you, but what we're going to talk about today, working through you. That's the place of blessing that Jesus talked about. So John says, you know, the Messiah coming, I'm not even worthy to go to him and take his sandal off. He's God. He's the Messiah, God the Son. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So this brings up a lot of questions. What is this baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire? And then we read more. More about this baptism with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So that's a question. Who are you in this teaching of John the Baptist? Are you the wheat that's going to be gathered into the barn? That day's coming. The Lord is going to gather all those that are his into the barn. He's going to come for his church. Or are you the chaff that you're living a wasted, worthless life and you're going to be burned with unquenchable fire? So we want to understand, in our text, John tells us about, it's open for some interpretation, by the way, but I believe John tells us about two different baptisms, a baptism with the Holy Spirit, and I'll share with you why I believe they're two different baptisms, and a baptism with fire. The baptism with the Holy Spirit, as we study it, is for believers. So that's going to be our primary study this morning, this first of the two baptisms that we're talking about, the baptism with the Holy Spirit for believers. And next week, we'll see the baptism with fire. And this is a baptism for unbelievers. It's quite sobering to think of unbelievers being immersed in what the book of Revelation calls the lake of fire. That is a real end for Christless, self-sufficient, prideful planet Earth. A day of reckoning is coming. A day of judgment is clearly coming. So in the book of Acts, if this is all we had, if we only had John the Baptist saying this, we would just be left, wow, okay, we know very little about what these baptisms are. But in the book of Acts, Jesus is going to quote our text. He's going to quote John the Baptist, teaching us more about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So let's turn there. If you have a Bible, open up to Acts chapter 1. And again, John says this, I'm not worthy to even untie his sandals, but when I baptize with water, when he comes, he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus is going to talk about what John just, what we just read. And we read Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together, Acts 1, verse 4, being assembled together with them. So from the minute that Jesus rose from the dead in the Gospels, on that first Sunday, the church gathered together. And the Lord met them. He came into their midst and he said, it's pretty interesting. Over and over when they would meet, the Lord would say, peace to you. You know, that's a big part of the church gathering together. We come together and the Lord is with us. And when we're gathering like this, whatever we're going through, whatever's going on in our world, he wants us to have peace. And so you read the Gospels. The very first day Jesus rose from the dead, they're gathered together. It's interesting. They had the doors shut because they were afraid of the Jews. And the Lord, able to just pass through the walls, comes in, says, peace to you. Then he appears to them again, says, peace to you. Then a week later, he appears to them, peace to you. There seems to be a pattern that when the church gathers, that we would know the risen Lord is in our midst and he wants us to have peace. Maybe this is a big part of the way that you came today. You're very troubled and you're not at peace and the Lord has peace for you. And being assembled together, Acts 1 verse 4, with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Holy, or the promise of the Father. This is a promise of the Holy Spirit, which he said, you've heard from me. Jesus told them all about this promise of the Holy Spirit coming after he was crucified. And he says, for John truly baptized with water, and now he's quoting John the Baptist, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So it's interesting, as the Gospels finish, we all know at the end of the Gospels is the Great Commission. Go, can you quote the Great Commission? Go into all the world. And we're to preach the gospel to every created human being. And we're to make disciples. And we're to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's pretty interesting because the gospel's end with Jesus saying, go. But then right after he says, go, he says, but first you have to wait. You have to wait in Jerusalem until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And not many days from now, this is going to happen. And, you know, when you think about that, when you think of the apostles having been with Jesus for 3 years, wouldn't you think they're ready to go? If anybody was ready to go, wouldn't the apostles be ready to go? Like, you've just been taught by Jesus for 3 years. if anyone could go, they could go. But it's interesting. The Lord said, no, you won't be effective. You've got to wait for this promise of the Father that I told you about. You've got to wait till you're baptized. And I want you to look at this. Look down at verse 5. This is super important in our discussion this morning, in our teaching. Wait for John baptized with water, verse 5, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Notice he doesn't say you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's not what's being fulfilled right now. They're two different events. He just says in not many days from now, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So baptism with fire, when John talked, he told us about what that is. Jesus is going to clean his threshing floor and the unbelieving world is going to be immersed in fire. So that's next week. But let's keep reading here in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, when they had come together, again, the church, ever since Jesus died on the cross and was crucified, it's important the church comes together. And they had come together, and the resurrected Lord was with them. And they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time, when you baptize us with the Holy Spirit and not many days from now, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Israel was governed by Rome, and they were hoping that the Messiah would free them from tyranny under Rome. When we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, that has to be when we're no longer going to be slaves to Rome. And he said to them, verse 7, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. So if you study the Gospels, you say, now I'm really confused. Because Jesus said we should know the signs of the times. He said that. He said, you can see when the weather is such that it's going to be a stormy day. And you can see the weather such that it's going to be a beautiful day. Matthew 16. And Jesus said you ought to be able to discern the times and the signs of the times that you're living in. So you say, I'm confused. Matthew 16, he says we should know the times. Here he says we don't know the times. Which one is it? And what you need to understand, look down at verse 7. He said to them, it's not for you to know the time. This isn't going to happen in your lifetime. These first century apostles, the Lord's coming wasn't going to be in their lifetime. They weren't going to know these times, these seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. Here we are 2,000 years later, and we're seeing the signs of the times being fulfilled that we're living in. The Lord's coming is near. But then he goes back, verse 8, he's explaining this baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're thinking that means we're going to be free from Rome. And he's saying, no, your generation isn't going to see that. But let me tell you about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And this will be the rest of our study this morning, verse 8. So now we're going to learn about what the baptism with the Holy Spirit is. Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So we just want to point out a few things this morning. And the first thing is, he's talking to the apostles, and he says, but you. The you here is speaking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and it's talking about the apostles who were already believers in Jesus. And this is so key. They were already believers. They were already followers. In John 15, he already said, my word has made you clean. You've already been cleansed. But these already that he's talking to already had the Holy Spirit in them. So we want to understand that. John 20, I'm going to read it to you. When Jesus rose from the dead, we talked about earlier, they were gathered together. He came into their midst. He said, peace to you. That Sunday after Jesus was crucified, he says, as the Father sent me, I've sent you. And listen to what it says, John 20, verse 22. So important. Listen, when they were gathered together, he said to them, as the Father sent me, I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So what do you think happens when you're the apostles gathered together and Jesus breathes on you and says, receive the Holy Spirit? I'm pretty sure you received the Holy Spirit. At that minute, the Holy Spirit was in them. And so we want to understand that. When Jesus says in our text, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. These are those that were already believers. They already had the Holy Spirit in them. And you shall, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about power. These believers were going to receive power. Maybe you've studied this before. The Greek word is dunamis, power. It's where we get our English word dynamic or dynamite. You're going to receive dynamite power, dynamic power. And so the question that you want to ask yourself as a believer in Jesus, is there dynamic power in my life? We're going to read it in a minute. It's power to be a witness. I love that, witness. It's not power to be a lawyer. Like, I'm going to be this powerful lawyer. It's not power to be a judge. Right? What's a witness? A witness just talks about what you've seen happen. Right? How has the Lord worked in your life? The Lord wants you to talk about that. He wants you to have power to talk to others. So I want to ask you the question, is there power in your life? Another way to explain that is there's power to make a saving impression on others. Have you been baptized with the Spirit like this, where there's power in your life and other people are being saved through your life? But let's take it one step further. The word witness is the Greek word martus. What English word do you think we get from martus? Right? Martyr. The Holy Spirit will come upon you in power, so much power that you'll be willing to die for Jesus. If that's what is asked of you. And I just want you to ask the question, be honest, is there that type of power in your life? You know, it's pretty interesting. People call this different things. I spoke at a place one time, and I told them I was going to speak on the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and the place I was speaking said, could you not use that phrase? How can I not use that phrase? Well, can you just call it the filling of the Spirit? We're not comfortable with the baptism with the Spirit. No. How can I not call the baptism with the Holy Spirit the baptism with the Holy Spirit? But just to be fair, the church does kind of argue over this. Some people, they call it the filling. Some people call it the baptism with. And just to be fair, just want you to know, some people think when you get saved, everybody's baptized with the Holy Spirit right then. There's nothing in the future. I personally do not believe that's correct interpretation. But you know what? If you're in your mind going, oh yeah, I don't agree with this. I don't like him calling it that, or I don't believe what he just said. Who cares? Who cares what you call it? I'm asking you, or who cares when it happens? Is there power in your life? Like, really? Is there power in your life? Are people getting saved because of your witness? Because if not, you want to ask for that. You want to pay attention. You want the Holy Spirit to do a work in your life where there's this type of power to be a witness. And we also want to see here that you'll be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the world. That's kind of like saying in Corvallis, in Benton County, in Oregon, and to the end of the world. Right? In other words, you're just going to become more and more effective at reaching the world. And what we want to see here is the only way that we can reach our world is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? We're not going to do it through social media. We're not going to do it through flyers. We're not going to do it through programs. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, look at our church. Just look around. Take a gander. Would you just look across the amphitheater? Look at us, 400, 500, 600 people. Do you realize that if we were all empowered by the Holy Spirit to talk about who Jesus is to others, do you realize what would happen in this valley? Do you realize? Even if like once every week, every 10 days, even if once a month you were just in a powerful way impacting someone else. That's what we're reading about. You guys, you can't go until this power is on you to be a witness. Now, some people, when you talk about the Holy Spirit or the baptism with the Holy Spirit, they get real nervous. Like already you feel nervous. You feel like, I don't know if I feel comfortable. And, you know, they're afraid that maybe something weird is going to happen to them. And it's kind of sad that there are a lot of people that they attribute being really weird behavior with the Holy Spirit. But you got to remember the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Remember what John said? John said, I baptize you with water, but one coming after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit is Jesus immersing you in the Holy Spirit. He's not going to let anything weird happen to you. What's going to happen to you when you begin to desire that and ask that and pray for that? The Holy Spirit is going to be flooding out of your life. We're going to read what Jesus said about it in a minute, but he's not going to let anything weird happen to you. When you read the book of Acts and you read about this baptism with the Holy Spirit, in chapter 2, Peter tells us Jesus ascended to heaven and Jesus is pouring out the Holy Spirit on his church, Acts 2, 33. But listen to what Jesus said of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we'll just kind of put these pieces together. In John 7, 37, there's a very powerful call. And Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Right? That's the call of Jesus. Are you thirsty? If you're thirsty, come to Jesus. You know, Jesus said, if you drink of the water of this world, you're going to thirst again. Man, if I just get that car, I'll be so happy. Nope, you're still empty. If I just get married, I'll be so happy. You're still empty if you're looking to marriage to fill you. Man, if we could just get that house, if we could get the second house, man, if we could just take that vacation. And we keep trying all these different things to satisfy the thirst, but the reality is only Jesus can fill that deep thirst in us. You know, even when you get married, the marriage is so wonderful, but if you're looking to that other person in your marriage to fill your thirst, it's never going to happen. But oh, isn't it beautiful? Susie and I are married 30 years this October. 30 years. And to be in love at 30 years. Oh, man, what a joy that Susie's looking to the Lord to meet her needs. I'm looking to the Lord to meet my needs. And then the Lord is just overflowing the banks of our life with love for each other. I had no idea when I was younger that marriage could be so good. I wouldn't have believed you if you would have told me at 30 years our marriage would be better than on our honeymoon or the first year. Boy, and so, you know, if anyone thirsts, the only answer, we all are thirsting. You have to come. Jesus says, come to me and drink. But then listen to what John tells us about this. Anyone thirsty, Jesus said, come to me and drink. And John tells us this, John 7, 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Oh, well, okay, so let's put it together. If you're thirsty, Jesus, come to me. If you believe in me, out of your heart will just flow rivers of living water. Okay, that's what it means to believe in Jesus. Listen to what John tells us right after he tells us that. But this Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing, this is for believers, those who believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus wasn't glorified. John tells us this: these, when you believe in Jesus, these rivers that are going to flow out of your life, that's going to take place when Jesus baptizes us with the Spirit. You know, I think being in Oregon, we get these great pictures of rivers, right? So, such a convicting question. Is there a little trickle flowing out of my life, or is there a river of living water flowing out of my life? There's an illustration that over the years I just love, and it involves this little glass. And if you can, it involves the Holy Spirit. If you could picture this little glass as representing a human being, and you know, before you're saved, the Holy Spirit is working in your life, but you're not open. You haven't opened up your heart yet. The Spirit is moving. The Spirit is wanting to point you to Jesus. The Spirit convicts us of our sin and our need to get right with God. But it's not until you open up your heart. It's not until you turn to Jesus and believe in him that the Bible talks about your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit's in you. And instantly the Holy Spirit starts leading you. That's a beautiful part of being born again, and the Spirit's in you and he starts leading your life. The Spirit starts conforming you into the image of Jesus. You can do things and say things and watch things where you grieve the Holy Spirit. He's sad inside of you because of what you're watching, because of what you're saying. There's fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life: love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, patience, self-control, long-suffering. But what we're reading about, this is not rivers of living water. It's when Jesus ascended and poured out the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what we're reading about is a believer's life where just rivers of living water are pouring out of you. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. That's what we're reading about. This baptism with the Holy Spirit. And I think it's just a question to ask yourself, has that happened in me? Oh, Rob, I'm clearly a believer in Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you watch that and you realize, you know what, my life has been closed. I haven't yet opened my soul to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to experience the baptism with the Holy Spirit. How do we experience the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. He said, which of you, and Jesus had been talking about when you pray, you ask and you got to keep asking. What we pray for always doesn't happen right when you ask. You say, yeah, boy, do I know that. You got to keep asking. You got to keep seeking. You got to keep knocking. And then Jesus gave this illustration. He said, hey, which of you, if you have a son and your son comes to you and he says, Dad, can I have some bread? Which of you are going to go, here you go, son, take this rock and go chew on it? No, you're going to give your son some bread. If he says, Dad, can I have a fish? Jesus said, which of you are going to go, here, son, take this rattlesnake, go out and play with it? If your son comes and says, Dad, can I have an egg? Which of you are going to say, okay, son, put out your hand. Here's a scorpion. Like, I'm going to let something bad happen to you. No. Right? As parents, Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Boy, when you're a parent, even a fallen parent, you want the best for your kids. You want the most for your kids. But this is what Jesus said. If you being evil, this is why we're telling the whole story. If you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Ask. If the Spirit's not in you, if you don't know that you're saved, if the Spirit's not bearing witness that you're with your spirit, that you're saved, ask. Ask for the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Ask for Jesus to change you. If you're a believer and, like, no doubt you believe in Jesus, you love him, you're following him, but just be really honest. Is there power in your life? Really? If not, ask for that. Ask. I want, Lord, I want that power. I want to be a witness. I want my life to tell others so that they can find what I found. And you know what? The Bible talks about asking by faith. Right? We read in Matthew 13, many mighty works Jesus didn't do because of unbelief. So today I'm going to give you an opportunity. Ask. Ask in faith. Believe the Lord. Say, Lord, I am just going to believe you're going to do that in my life today. You can do with my faith whatever you want, but I am asking and I'm believing that you're going to just cause rivers of living water to start pouring out of my life. Another time that we see the work of the Holy Spirit is at water baptism. We're going to see that in 2 weeks. When Jesus was baptized in water, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove just ever so gently and powerfully descended upon his life. So baptism is a time that we can pray for that. Maybe you've never been baptized. You know, a lot of people are baptized as babies. And I think, a lot of people this summer have got baptized that they were baptized as babies. And their parents meant well. But you can't be baptized as a baby. The Bible says you have to believe with all your heart. And a lot of times people are baptized as children. My kids were baptized as little children. They wanted to be baptized. But all of my kids were baptized as they became older, when they could fully understand with all their heart. And if you haven't been baptized since you've believed in Jesus with all your heart, you should be baptized. And maybe you've never been baptized, or maybe and you're not saved, and you could get baptized and be saved. And in baptism, the old life you were living is dead and buried, and now you're living a new resurrection life. And if that's you, we'll pray for you at that moment for the Holy Spirit to just rivers of living water start flowing out of your life. Or maybe baptism for you today would be a step of obedience. I've just never been since I believe with all my heart. Again, we're bringing that up because when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him. So we'll pray for that for you today. That's a great time. When I baptize people, I'm always praying the Holy Spirit would just start rivers of living water flowing out of their life. Another thing we read in the scripture is it's by the laying on of hands. And interestingly enough, it's when leaders lay hands on people. But then it's interesting, it's also just ordinary people laying hands on others. And so we'll give opportunity today to lay hands on each other. Those that you came with, or to ask leaders to lay hands on you in the course of the morning before you go. Or as we're part of house churches this fall, just taking time to lay hands on each other and pray that there would be rivers of living water flowing out of our life. Right? we ask, we keep asking. And the last thing I'll read this morning, the last thing I'll comment on is when you read the New Testament in Ephesians 5:18, it says we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but the Greek language is we're to continually be being filled. That's just going to be the prayer the rest of our lives, to just continually be filled. One Bible scholar answered the question, why do we need to be continually filled? And the answer he gave is because we leak. I don't know if that's good theology, but I do know we're to continually be filled. And you know, the phrase I love is the Holy Spirit has more for all of us. Right? None of us have arrived. And I'm going to give an opportunity. Joseph, you guys can come back up. I'm going to give an opportunity here in a minute to stand. And why would you choose to stand this morning? This is what's happening in the amphitheater today. It may be that the Holy Spirit's not yet in you. It may go back to this picture. And you want to stand, and in standing you're saying, Jesus, I'm thirsty. I'm coming to you to drink. Fill my cup. That would be a reason to stand if you're in that place. You don't know yet if you're saved. You don't know if the Holy Spirit's in you. You may be a believer and the Holy Spirit is in you, but just being honest, there's not much power in your life to be a witness. It's September, and to be really honest, there hasn't been anybody impacted in a saving way in my life all year, or the last 2 years, or three, or four. Yeah, you need for the Holy Spirit to do a work of power in you. And you know, you might be somebody that you're listening and you're going, oh, I love this. I love this. I love the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, am I alive to that and open to that? And there's gifts in my life and I know what gift I have. And oh, man, and you too could stand. And you could just be asking for Holy Spirit more. Even the gifts I have, could you give them to me in a greater measure? Or gifts I've never had. Holy Spirit, on this September day, could you give me a gift I've never had before? You know, people always have questions about the gift of tongues, and I don't have time to go into tongues at this point, but I don't believe that the scriptures teach that tongues is the evidence of someone baptized with the Holy Spirit. Tongues is clearly one of many gifts. The Lord wants you to have gifts. I think the greatest evidence of somebody baptized with the Holy Spirit is there's power in your life. You know, Peter, before he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, he was denying the Lord. And Satan was trying to sift him. Maybe that describes you. Like always kind of not really standing for the Lord. The devil's always kind of sifting you and you're weak and falling. And then you see Peter baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now he's not hiding in an upper room. Now he's out in the public. He's not denying the Lord. He's proclaiming the Lord. He's not being sifted. He's crushing Satan under his feet in the book of Acts. The evidence of the baptism with the Holy Spirit is there's power. There's boldness. To be counted. You're not hiding. People can't shut you up. You're going to testify no matter what. And if we ever lived in a world that says you're going to be put to death for proclaiming Christ, you're going to have the power to be a martyr. And so that would be reason to stand, to say, man, I want power of the Holy Spirit. Rivers of living water. God, I want that. I want you to start a work in me and just cause the river to flow in a greater and greater way. So, Joseph, lead us. And, you know, it's okay if you choose to sit and not stand. I think it's really important that you're just really true to yourself. Do you want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? If you do. Again, I gave different reasons why you choose to stand today. You might not be saved. Might be a moment of salvation for you. Might be a moment of, man, I really want rivers of living water. I want that power. Lord, I desire the gifts that you have for me. That would be a reason to stand. Why don't we just bow our heads for a minute? Let me just give you a little bit of space to think about and to hear what the Spirit wants for you this morning. Joseph, why don't you lead us? And during this song, if you are wanting to stand, go ahead and stand. If you want to just posture yourself for a powerful work of the Spirit that you're asking God to do, and you stand, open your heart the best you can. Offer yourself to the Lord the best you can today. Ask Jesus. Make it your prayer as you stand to your feet. Jesus, pour out rivers of living water in my heart. Pour out the Spirit in my life. Joseph, lead us. And as you're somebody that you want to stand this morning, you can stand and you can pray.